Well, I don't really have a lot more to talk about. I have a couple more verses I want to talk about, but I thought I'd kind of close with, you know, I've kind of told you my story and how my perspective's changed and how things have changed in my life, and I can dial in directly how the things in my life began to change when I began to pursue intimacy with Christ, which was roughly about 20 years ago. Maybe a little bit longer, but you know, I started meeting with Dave. I got involved with the men in this movement. And then I really, you know, when I started to meet with the Lord every day, I can honestly say that that's when my life began to change. One of the verses that affected me that I have listed is Matthew 22:37-40, and I think anybody that's spent time with the Lord, it's, you know, when you realize that Jesus Christ and God and the Word of God are all the same, it's really interesting when you read things how they change. And I was talking to someone earlier. We were talking about verses. I think Kevin, what I've learned and what was modeled to me from Dave, you know, about meeting with God is you just meet with Him every day. And I mean, there's days I don't even remember what I read. I mean, literally, I could be driving to work after I spent time with the Lord and I don't even remember. But what I realize happens to me is that I might read a verse over 10 years 10 different times. You know, I might have gone through the Bible 10 times in 10 years, but just that one particular verse that day, because of something I have going on in my life or something going on around me, that verse just jumps up. So it's really this pursuit. And so Matthew 22:37-40, it's interesting to me because, you know, you realize that, you know, Jesus is God, right? And so He was always battling with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which were the religious leaders of the day. And I'm sure they had political influence and financial influence on everything going on with the Jews. And so the Pharisees believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection, but they had all these rules. And they were always confronting Christ. And Christ was really always confronting them about the law. And so I just imagine that when one of the Pharisees would come to Christ and question Him, I mean, he was like the Alan Dershowitz of the day, if you know who Alan Dershowitz was. He wasn't some first-year law guy that was questioning Christ. I mean, this is the top guy. So Christ is, the Sadducees were talking to Him about the resurrection, and He silenced them. I mean, the Bible really says that they were silenced. And so now the Alan Dershowitz of the Pharisees, you know, he says, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment?" And Christ replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. The law and the prophets hang on all these two commands." So really, the whole purpose of our lives, first of all, should put to pursue who Christ is, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And that's different for all of us, right? Because it's just an individual relationship that we have. And there's no right way, there's no wrong way, other than we just have to do it. And then just treat people the way you want to be treated. And you're really going to follow the Ten Commandments. If you look at them, you know, honor your mother and your father, you know, don't lie to people, don't cheat on people, don't sleep with your neighbor's wife. I mean, just things you want to be done to you, don't do to others. And it's just very interesting that how Christ was so concise in His responses and how brilliant they were, and how these guys, like I said, these are the top law guys, and they just would walk away. You know, they wanted to kill Him because his answers were so brilliant. So that was a verse that really affected me. And just wanted to talk about kind of where I am now. I mean, in my life right now, I mean, I wish I could look all of you in the eye and tell you that I act like a Christian all the time, but I just don't. I mean, you can just talk to my son or T, who played golf with me. You know, That's a map to throw off an F-bomb and slam a club into the ground. And you know, then I go home and I'm going, Lord, why am I doing this? You know, and then the Lord reminds me of what Romans 3:23 says. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so I'm encouraged that I'm in that all category. You know, I'm one of those guys. I'm in the all category. And as I reflect on this, I think I could pretty much honestly say that I've really given everything in my life over to the Lord. It's, you know, golf is a game about control. You know, and as a scratch golfer, anybody, these guys will tell you the whole object is to just control the golf ball. You know, how high you hit it, how far you hit it, how low you hit it, how, you know, how hard you putt, everything. It's all about control. And it's interesting to me that that's an area of my life where I struggle, because just the nature of the game, if you want to play it well, is to control the ball. And it's, you know, if I'm playing in a tournament, I'm mentally prepared to play in the tournament, and I hardly ever lose my cool. But I wake up on Saturday morning to go play with my buddies, who I'm with 50 times a year. I'm not thinking about, you know, being mentally in control, and that's where I'm apt to fall. So I just think it's interesting that one of the only things in my life that I'm trying to control is an area of my life where I get frustrated. You know, it's very interesting to me. And so I just thought I'd close and just tell you kind of where I'm at right now and some of the things I mentioned earlier. The main thing in my life right now is that I'm just very humbled in my life to be where I am. When I look at the blessings that I have in my life, with the people in my life, my family, my friends, men in here, I've been fortunate in my career as a sales guy. I always tell T, I mean, we're fortunate because we're with people every day. You know, we get to be with people every day. And sometimes it's a burden, but for the most part, I just remember when I was early in my career, I used to travel to Southern California, and I always took my golf clubs. It helped me. I was married to Angela, and it really kind of helped me to, you know, not to go to a bar after work. When I got done with work, I would just, wherever I was, I would go to the local golf course and just take my clubs with me and go walk nine holes. Well, one day I was in Pasadena, California, and it was middle of August. It was probably 110 degrees in Houston, and it was like 75 degrees without a cloud in the sky in Pasadena, and it was about 2:30 or 3, and I probably could have made another sales call or two, but you know, I just said, hey, screw it, you know, I'm going to the golf course. So I went to this course right there at the Rose Bowl that I always go to, and I joined up, and they put me with three guys. And it's really interesting in golf, because you know, in 4 hours you have three new friends or four new friends, you know. And so anyhow, I vividly remember that day, because there was a guy, I was maybe 35 at the time, and one of the guys was maybe 65 or 70. He was walking, carrying his clubs, he was very fit. And on the second hole he said, well, Craig, where are you from? And I said, I'm from Houston. And he goes, oh, you're out here on vacation, you know, because it's like 2:30 in the afternoon. And I was kind of embarrassed, and I said, well, no. I said, I'm actually out here on business, but, you know, it's such a beautiful day. And I told him how hot it was in Houston. I said, I just decided to come to the golf course. And he goes, hey. He goes, don't sweat it. He said, you never hear anybody on their deathbed say, gee, I wish I would have spent more time at the office. And I laughed when he told me that, but I've never forgotten that. You know, think about that. How many people you know when they're getting ready to die going, I just got one more order, if I could have closed one more deal. So that was just a really good reminder to me that, you know, there's more important things in life than work. I told you that when I first started meeting with men, the evil one attacked me. I told you I had herniated disc, bronchitis, I lost my job. Well, at that time, I was down. Jordan was living with me at the time. I was down to maybe $3,000 or $4,000 in my checking and savings account. I didn't work for 6 months. You know, I was pleading with the Lord, and I ended up getting a job with the company. And you know, make a long story short, they asked me to be a shareholder in the company, and here I am, 20 years later. I'm debt free. You know, I don't have any debt. So how could that happen? Besides the hand of God in that situation. I'm happily married. My wife Cindy and I have been married for 8 years, going on 9 years. You heard about my sexual struggles. I was actually meeting with men, and I was still having sex with women as a Christian, and it was something that was really hard for me to break away from. But men in this room, they didn't criticize me, they didn't cast stones at me, they just encouraged me. And somewhere along the way, after starting to meet with God, I realized that my relationship with the Lord was more important than what was going on between my legs. It just took me a long time because it was something, you know, once you taste the fruit of the vine, it's pretty hard to stop. At least it was for me. Before I met Cindy, I didn't have a sexual intercourse for 5 years. And when I met Cindy, the first or second date I went out with her on, I met her on eHarmony, and I was sitting on her couch and I went to kiss her and she went and kissed me. And she kind of pulled away and she says, "I have to tell you something." I go, "Well, I got to tell you something." I said, "Just so you know, I'm not going to attempt to have sex with you unless I marry you." And she got this big smile on her face because she said, "Well, that's what I was going to tell you." So she didn't have sex for 2 years before we met. So the Lord honored that in my life. And we only dated for 9 months because guess why? We wanted to have sex. So I'm happily married at this stage of my life. And a big part of that was for me, was we were at Mo Ranch 1 year, and Gary and Terry Cuthbert talked about when they were dating and the battles they had trying to stay sexually pure. And they talked about how great their sex life was 15 or 16 years later. And man, I wanted to have a great sex life, you know, into my marriage, because I know a lot of people don't. But again, it was just, you know, people in this movement being transparent. I was a single guy. I don't even know why I went to that meeting. You know, I don't even know why I was there. But it was what I needed to hear, and it motivated me. I've been blessed with good kids. You know, none of them are perfect. I told you I only have one of them in the Lord, but I keep praying for my other kids, and for whatever reason, the Lord put it on my heart about 10 or 12 years ago that, you know, if one of my daughters or my oldest son doesn't accept the Lord till they're 50 years old, they're still my son, still my daughter. You know, I want it to happen in my time, but I know it's going to happen in his time. Grandkids. I didn't understand the whole grandkid thing. Between Cindy and I, we have 11 grandkids. Man, you know, what a blessing that is. I had no idea. I heard Dave and Jay and everybody talk about grandkids, and man, you know, kids are cool, but grandkids, that's the way to go, let me tell you, because you get to give them back.
Amen.
Golf. You know, I told you about my desire to be a professional athlete, and I never got to be a professional athlete, but I played tennis, and then I started playing golf, and in 1994, just as I think I had already accepted the Lord, but I was really just getting into the process of knowing who he was, guy that I worked for called me in his office. He was a member of Pine Forest Country Club. He said, "Hey, I'm gonna join you at Pine Forest Country Club." So since 1994 until the 6 month period that I lost my job, I paid for my country club, you know, for the country club those 6 months. But then even when the company that I work for now, the guys that I work for now, when I was interviewing with them and they offered me the job, my current boss, the main shareholder in the company, he said, "Hey," he said, you're a member of Pine Forest, aren't you? I said, "Yeah, I am." He goes, "We'll pay for that." I didn't even have to ask him. So the way I look at it, the Lord's been paying for my golf since 1994, you know. I'm serious. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. I had mentioned that Angela, you know, when we first got divorced, and I mentioned Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you know, and how that changed my life. And I remember when I first moved back into the subdivision, Angela's husband, Frankie, he knocked on my door one day, said, "Hey, we need to take a walk." And he was telling me how Angela was worried that I was moving back into the neighborhood and, you know, didn't want to disrupt their marriage. And I assured him, you know, that I had just moved into the neighborhood to be with my kids. And so this was when we were first still having conflict, you know, really before Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But then eventually, all my kids eventually came and lived with me. Well, at least my oldest daughter moved in for a while, then my youngest daughter, then Jordan eventually moved in. And so this must have been 10 years later, 12 years later. Frankie called me up. Jordan was with me. He might have been 15 or 16 at the time. And Frankie called me and said, "Hey, can you come by the house? Angela and I want to talk to you." So I rode my bike over to their house and went in. And they said, "Hey, you know, we're thinking about moving to Tomball. And things went so good with the kids and everything. We just want to know if you're interested in moving out to Tomball so we can all be close." Now, tell me that's not God. So, I mean, you know, at some point you just can't make this stuff up. And so what I've realized in my life, my role, I believe, is to trust the Lord, to seek the Lord, and to acknowledge the Lord. That's what I'm supposed to do. And I you know, we looked at 1 Chronicles 29, 11, and 12. Now, that's God's role. It's His role to be God. It's my role to seek Him, trust Him, and acknowledge Him in my life. And a verse that I've recently come across that I'll close with you guys is Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, which says, "This is what the Lord says," not my opinion. "This is what the Lord says, 'Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But he who boasts, let him boast about this, that he understands and knows me." And so that's the commitment at this stage of my life. Because of the men in this room, what they imparted to me, a lot of men in this room, there's others that aren't here, and just you know, just meeting with Jesus Christ every day and His impact in my life, that's really the main thing that I'm interested in now, is that if I boast about anything, I want to boast that I understand and I know the Lord. And so I appreciate you guys being here. Thanks for listening to my story. I hope that the Holy Spirit was able to touch base on something maybe you're struggling with. This is my story. What happened to me might not happen to you, but it's your story, you know. And if you have a personal relationship with Him, you know, it's going to be okay. So let me close this. Well, Lord, just thanks for this weekend. You know, I really don't know what to say at this stage of the game other than just thank you. Thanks for these men. Thanks that they took 20 hours out of their life to come here and to be with each other and to be with you. Thanks for being in the middle of everything. And as we go forward, we just ask for safe passage for everybody on the way back home. And we just can't thank you and praise you enough for all the blessings you provide in our life. So we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.